This is Sean Workentine filling in for Mia. Here's your community update for the week.
I mean, I know Carney has been trying to do things, so we're not so dependent on America. So why do we have to have such big data centers?
Canadian data. This is a big issue. This is fundamentally about, yes, energy, but it's also about our economic competitiveness. It's about our national resilience.
It's big, big, big extractive information and our privacy. They do not produce, they just take.
Hyperscale data centers are being built across the country, with many more projects being proposed. But a lot of communities are pushing back, including the community here in Scarborough.
Yeah, so we've been living here for 25 years, and I never once expected something like this to come in our neighborhood.
Maria Corsico and her son Charles live in Birchcliff. Not far away, a Scarborough data center has plans to expand its capacity by 7 times its current output power.
I mean, I have many concerns. Even my son, as a young kid, has a lot of concerns, right? What are your concerns, Charles?
You know, just some concerns about the environment, like what is the facility's estimated greenhouse gas emissions and how often will it be monitored and tested? And of course, I'm young, you know, how many permanent or part-time jobs for local residents like us will this facility have with the amount of land it occupies? It's on a huge property. I'm for data centers, but not on the scale like this, you know, growing AI, emails, internet, everything's moving to AI, unfortunately.
This is the kind of digital infrastructure that stores your data, that powers artificial intelligence systems. They are buildings made to run a large number of computers reliably and securely, all night and all day. Currently, 35 data centers in Toronto are already known to be operational. Some of the larger ones include Server Farm in North York or Compass in South Etobicoke. Construction is already underway at a large Microsoft-owned data center in North Etobicoke, while a 7-story site is seeking approval in Leaside. Data center sites are not actually all that new. Companies have run them for decades, and it's not unusual for them to be situated within these large cities, like Toronto. Data travels faster when physical servers are close to the people using them. Early sites mostly stored files, while today many are built to train and run AI.
When I first moved here, it was Eli Lilly, right? It was a farm, and then it changed. Yeah, it was a pharmaceutical company, and then we got a notice. And I know, honestly, I can't find the clipping that they were going to put a subdivision in there, which was like a park and homes and a splash pad. What happened to that? It just got kiboshed, nobody informed us, and the next thing we knew, this was going up.
The Scarborough site sits at Birchmount Road and Danforth Avenue. It's been operating at partial capacity for a few years now, since 2023. And before it was a data center, it was used as a pharmaceutical manufacturing plant, like Maria said. That is, until the American company Stack Infrastructure bought up the 19 acres.
Yeah. And then another thing that bothers me, it's a U.S. company. So why weren't we informed about that? Aren't we keeping everything in Canada?
Large data centers are going up because the demand for computing keeps growing on all fronts. Cloud adoption, streaming, digital payments, the big driver being generative AI. The federal government is increasingly treating AI infrastructure and data sovereignty as matters of national economic security. You know the vibe, it's elbows up.
We can't allow the ability to power our lives and put food on our table to be forever at the mercy of outside forces. We need affordable, homegrown energy, and a lot of it. Our answer to domestic energy affordability, security, and sustainability is the same answer as Sir Adam Beck's: to power our way to a stronger, more resilient, more independent country that works for all.
An internal document then comes from the Privy Council Office, who supports the Prime Minister and the Cabinet. The document entitled Investments in Canadian Data Centers explained that the build-out of electricity-consuming data centers would provide markets for Canadian energy and lead to net new energy resources. This document was originally obtained by Greenpeace Canada and shared with media outlets DSmog and The Tie. Hyperscale data centers have become increasingly more prevalent in Ontario, with over 6,500 megawatts worth of applicants trying to connect to Ontario's power grid as of December 2025. To understand what that means, let's put it into context. 1 megawatt is enough electricity to power 1,000 homes, not people, but homes in Ontario. So doing the math, 6,500 megawatts would be enough electricity to power over 6 million homes.
Absolutely. So am I furious? Absolutely I'm furious. After living in this neighborhood for 25 years.
We met Maria and Charles Corsico at the Birchmount Community Center on Tuesday. The area's local councillor and city staff were holding a public meeting where residents could ask questions about the proposed expansion and share concerns.
The purpose of tonight is to help us establish the facts.
The issue on the table.
So I think our understanding ranges. Some folks woke up and found out there was a data center in our backyard.
122 people showed up to the meeting. The room, with a capacity of 100 people, was overflowing out the door.
Well, for 2 years I've noticed this building, the old Eli Lilly campus at the end of my street, and for 2 years I've been saying, hey, what is that? Hey, what's a server farm? Hey, what's a data center?
Jobs. From what we understand, there are only 30 jobs that are created for such a large site. And this is...
People lined up to ask questions. The meeting went into overtime and the line never ended.
I'm not a biased and prejudiced person, but I do believe in honesty and integrity. So what's the integral of what's going to happen to our environment?
Questions around accountability.
I'm most concerned about how city councillors don't appear to have a voice here.
Environmental impacts.
Why no environmental assessments, past or present, ever, for anyone, and not for this one? To whom are they accountable?
And whether costs would be offloaded onto constituents were top of mind.
These developments are going through without understanding what the community's needs are, what are the actual benefits to the community. That's also...
The expansion has been approved by city staff, but with a laundry list of conditions. There are legal and noise requirements, energy modeling and landscape plans, among others. The decision for this application is city mandated, which means it doesn't require public input, so to this date, councillors are not involved.
Hi everyone, I'm Zoe. My question is, what impact does our voices constituents have? Like, if the residents say, no, we don't want it, don't build it, then genuinely their application would be denied.
They have permission to do this.
Okay.
We can control, to a certain extent, through the site plan process, its impacts on the surrounding area, but we do have a narrow scope of what we are able to lean in on.
No development can fully advance on the site until a building permit is issued, and that hasn't happened yet.
I think my biggest one is, why was there so little community consultation? Why were we not informed of this expansion before it started to take place? Because it's already taking place. It's already going through.
That's Charles Corsico's biggest grievance, the lack of information shared about it. Right now, there are no AI data centers in Ontario that are larger than 50 megawatts. This center in Scarborough has plans to expand to 56 megawatts.
If you think of Scarborough Southwest, from Victoria Park to Markham Road, and everything south of Eglinton down to Lake Ontario, every household combined, I don't mean just single family households, every house, every townhome, every apartment unit that is in all of the towers that are here, there's about 40,000 of them. That corresponds to roughly about 30 megawatts. So we are talking about power consumption at one intersection that is almost double what our entire ward uses for residential purposes.
This is Kevin Rupa Singh. He's a resident in Scarborough Southwest, a city council candidate. And Rupa Singh has a background in electrical and computer engineering.
I think that cities and governments in general really struggle to keep up with how quickly tech can evolve.
It's really happening before our eyes as we speak. Under the current system, the current law, there really is no mechanism to manage this.
A new provincial law, Bill 40, was passed last December. It encourages the Minister of Energy and Mines to allow data center projects that serve provincial economic interests.
The message we're sending is powerful. Canada, and Ontario particularly, offers a dependable, secure, future-ready environment for digital infrastructure investment, which is really the basis so much of the tech triangle that is emerging between York Region and KW and right across Ontario.
So what does that mean? We don't know yet. A framework for approving AI data centers in Ontario is currently being drafted and is expected to be finalized and approved sometime this year. But that doesn't stop the wave of applications coming in. And for now, there's currently no standardized public consultation process for new data centers in Ontario.
Many residents like me, I live within 500 meters of this.
This is Scarborough Southwest local councillor, Parthi Kandaval.
This is an important concern given how dynamic we've seen, how AI has changed the landscape of work. Obviously, that comes at a price. Tremendous resources are being utilized to make AI work, and that obviously is predicated on data centers. So what does that mean in terms of power, water, noise? These are legitimate questions that came to our office. Sadly, as I pointed out today, if this was a cookie factory or an AI data center, it's the same process, which does not involve the community, which does not bring any approvals to publicly elected officials like myself as a councillor. And this is why this meeting was so important.
Questions about who governs this process and whether city council should be involved became clear priorities, he said.
Obviously, it raises important questions from the provincial level and the municipal level of how do we engage meaningfully with communities that are being impacted by data centers.
Electricity prices, electricity stability, water issues, noise issues, there's all kinds of problems that they can create if they're bad citizens.
City councillor and environmental lawyer Diane Sachs, who Kandaval said he often refers to on matters of the environment, drafted a motion in June urging Toronto to sign on to the Global Urban Data Centers Pact.
We need to have data centers be good grid citizens. They need to be good public citizens. And so the C40 Pact sets a vision of the cities of the world working together so that AI centers are good citizens.
This is a mayor-led initiative that sets a global standard for all urban areas to work towards more sustainable data centers. 40 mayors, including Montreal's, have signed on already.
They can be real contributors and make grids work better, or they can be entirely self-centered and make everybody around them worse off. It's not going to be simple to get there, but we need to at least create the vision, work with others, and do what we can because it could have a very significant effect.
The motion gets ruled out of order at June's council meeting, but Mayor Olivia Chow agrees to sign the pact anyway, later, on behalf of the city. This is not the only motion City Hall has brought forward on data centers. A motion in March asked city staff to look at whether AI data centers should have special zoning requirements and to examine all potential impacts as well as existing rules and regulations. They were asked to report back to council by early next year with recommendations for specific guidelines around AI data centers. While regulations remain unclear provincially and municipally, local climate groups nationally and abroad are calling for an immediate moratorium.
You know, there's a lot of research and data to back up the fact that these projects are being built without consent. They're being built without approvals.
This is Erin Mackey. She's part of a new group forming in the city that's demanding a provincial-wide moratorium on the development of all data centers.
The bare minimum we can do is put a pause, which is just what a moratorium is. It says we're going to do some more investigation and do some more research and determine what the impacts of these projects will be.
Some U.S. states have already started imposing bans. New York State Governor Kathy Hochul signed an order this week pausing the construction of large data centers, which she said would give the state time to develop stronger regulations that protect consumers and the environment. Meanwhile, for Canadian cities wrapping up their final council meetings ahead of summer vacay, city councillors in Vancouver and Hamilton have tried to slow things down while we wait on regulations, but the motions failed to punch through.
It's tricky. We've never done this before, right? This AI is arguably more profound than even the introduction of the internet, right? So this needs to be done with caution, and why I'm hoping that we can at least stall this and pause it before we commit to building permits without doing the diligence required.
Councillor Candavel said he would support a moratorium on this application, but couldn't commit to any citywide action without consulting other councillors and the mayor first. He said he wants to avoid muddying the waters with his colleagues.
Support. I can go in there and raise hell and bang the table and, you know, bring a petition of 500,000 people, but if I don't have the confidence of my colleagues and the mayor, who also is cognizant, like the prime minister, of economic development and not coming off in a city like Toronto, then I'm not doing anyone a favor, so I need to bring them along.
Okay, that's your community update. This coverage would not be possible without the support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. This episode was produced by Mia Johnson. For Met Radio, I'm Sean Morcantine. In for Mia. See you again next week.